2013, 0:50:38.
Non-1 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. It's like we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got to take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
We're not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
Yeah, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I am Lauren.
I am Ken.
And this is Paradise After Dark.
Dark, 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 dark.
Analyze this.
Analyze this.
Yes, this is our new segment for Patreon.
And our patrons know that. They yes. love the last one.
Well, here we go. We got another one for you.
Yep, we sure do. And as you probably heard in the very beginning of this, it's the 911 call that is sort of took over the podcast world and... it kind of went crazy because it was such a mysterious 911 call. This was a case that I first heard about it, the case and the 911 call was on the Vanished podcast. I can't think of her name, Marissa something. I can't think of it. It's called Vanished.
Yeah, that's a good podcast.
She does a great job, and she does a lot of interviews. But when I first heard it, I'm like, man, and I literally went back on her episode and she kept playing the call, and I would listen to it. And then I'm like, okay, I'd listen to a little bit more of the episode, and I'd be like, I got to hear it again. So I went back and heard it. And then, of course, this was one case, and I think I told you when we were at CrimeCon that the Brandon Lawson case was one of those that really – it's just really racked my brain. And it's ever since I listened to it in the first one, I've done research on it before. I've looked into it. It's one of those – because sometimes you hear podcasts, and you're like, okay, cool. I got a pretty good idea of what it is. I'm okay with that. But then there's some that catch you and you're like, oh, I got to do more research. Lauren's one of those. She'll listen to something and she'll like research it. And then we'll watch a movie and she'll research the movie, you know? So
I do.
And that's okay. But we appreciate that. If we do a case and you guys want to do more research, we love that. But this one, when we were at CrimeCon, I really wanted to talk to the guy that was advocating for Brandon Lawson. I don't remember who the guy was that was there, but there was a booth.
Everyone it was a friend of his.
I think it wasn't his
brother. It was a friend of his.
Yeah, I think it was a guy named his last name's Watts. David Watts, I think, is his name. And everyone was talking to him. And he was a pretty popular guy at CrimeCon. So I just kind of like, I wanted to ask questions. But so what I wanted to do is...
I actually talked to that guy a bit.
Yeah, did you? Did you talk about the case at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you realize, everyone is so blown away because it's almost like...
Well, it's because there is this mysterious 911 call.
Yes.
And then Brandon Lawson has never been seen or heard from since.
Do you know what I attribute this case to?
What?
What I think of when I think of this case?
What?
Maura Murray.
Okay, I can see that.
And I've thought about that before, and when I listened to the interviews with Ledessa, the guy Watts, David Watts, I think I want to say David, and Kyle through Crawlspace Media, when Tim and Lance did the interview, they even made the same correlation. Well, I made that correlation before because it was like, it's very, I mean, you got a car wreck or a car that's out of gas. The car was on the road, left on the side of the road. Apparently, there was a 911 call, but it wasn't Maura Murray. It was the bus driver. Was it the bus driver? It was a bus driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to say his name, but I can't think of his name. And then you got this girl that mysteriously just went missing has never been seen from again. And then, of course, you have all these theories around it. So we're going to go ahead and get into this. What we want to do,
analyze this 911 call.
But there are factors involved in 911 call. I think what you have to note, because we'll get into a little bit more in detail some things. But you must know a little bit about the case, and you must also know about the other phone calls that transpired, because a lot of people think that when the 911 call ended and the operator saying hello, hello, they think they hear gunshots. They think that maybe somebody tackled him, he disappeared, and that was it. But there's more to the story. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's give a little bit of background, and then we'll kind of just we'll get into it. And then at the end, we'll kind of get into the 911 call and what we think.
Okay. So on August 9th of 2013, Brandon Lawson of San Angelo, Texas, disappeared after leaving his home earlier that night. Brandon Lawson was 26 years old. He was 5'9" and weighed approximately 230 pounds. He had multiple tattoos as well as a scar on his chin and left knee. He had one ear pierced. At the time of his disappearance, Brandon was wearing a yellow shirt, green camouflage shorts, and white 2013 Air Max sneakers. Brandon was an oil field worker for the San Angelo Renegade Oil Services in Texas. He lived with his common-law wife of 10 years, LaDessa Lofton. Brandon had four children, three of them with LaDessa and one from a prior relationship when he was a teenager. According to an interview by Crawl Space Media, LaDessa said that Brandon worked long hours to provide for his family and had worked up to 95 hours a week and by all accounts would not have voluntarily gone missing. She did, however, state that the night prior to his disappearance, Brandon had not come home. According to LaDessa, she and Brandon were involved in an argument that night, an argument that led to Brandon calling his father and stating that he was going to leave his house and drive to Crowley, Texas. Now, Crowley is about 3.5 hours away. So at 11:53 p.m., Brandon leaves the home.
Yeah, I guess it was a pretty bad argument because he hadn't come home the night before. So LaDessa also stated that she called Brandon at exactly 12 a.m., so this is 7 minutes after he leaves, and encouraged him to just drive around and then go to Kyle's house rather than going all the way to Crowley.
And Kyle is Brandon's brother.
Correct, yeah, Kyle's okay. The brother. And just to clarify, in all the research I've done, I've read articles and listened to interviews, and Kyle and Brandon were close. They were tight, kind of like me and my brother. If he calls me and says, hey, I need this, I'm like, okay, hey, come pick me up. I'll say, all right, I start getting ready to go, and then I say, where are you at? That's just how this relationship between these two were. So, and Kyle, he only lived 5 miles from LaDessa and Brandon. Now, Brandon was extremely angry with LaDessa with a phone, so she, of course, is mad. She hangs up on him. Now, she said that one of her children had broken the wall charger for her phone, so she took her phone out and plugged it into the car charger. This is a bit of contention for a lot of people because they think that she just got mad and was like, you know what? They think that she was behind it somehow, and part of it's with the phone charger. And they say, well, how did you charge your phone in a car without it being running? Well, my Jeep does that. You've had cars that do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what she drove. I want to say maybe it was like an old Chrysler LeBaron or something she said.
I think the older cars will charge a phone even if the car's not running. The newer cars won't because it'll run down the battery of the car.
Exactly. And keep in mind, this is 2013. Now, right now, everything comes with a charger that plugs into a USB. That wasn't how it was in 2013.
Right.
So it wasn't like everybody had wall chargers. And anyway, so we're moving on. That's just one of those things that's been contentious with everybody. They think that she had something to do with it. There's a lot of
just
focus
because
on the
she put
charger.
Her phone in the car to charge.
Well, because there were numerous phone calls to or from Brandon to her that she missed.
So, okay.
And then there's one other factor that I'm going to talk about that has a lot to do with what I'm going to analyze on this 911 call. So, like I said, she takes her phone out to the car to charge it. Now, Kyle's mother had called Kyle to explain that, hey, Brandon and LaDessa had gotten in this heated argument, and Brandon was now headed to Crowley. Now, she asked Kyle to go by LaDessa's house and check on LaDessa and the kids. Now, this puts Kyle there at 12:10 a.m., and LaDessa tells Kyle that Brandon was tripping and flipping out. Like, hey, he's tripping, he's flipping out, he's pissed off, he called his dad, he's headed to Crowley. I told him to go to your house, but he's not there. Now, it's believed that the reason that LaDessa and Brandon were arguing was Brandon, the night before, had gotten some drugs. Now, he got these drugs from Kyle, so He calls Kyle and basically wants to celebrate, so he wants to get some drugs.
What's he celebrating?
His new job. So we know this to be fact because this comes directly from Kyle's interview with Tim and Lance at Crawl Space Media. Now, Kyle stated to them that Brandon had just got a new job and successfully passed a drug test and wanted to celebrate because he knew that there'd be no other drug test.
Oh, so you pass a drug test and you celebrate by doing some more drugs.
I guess that's what you do.
Oh, okay.
That's what addicts do.
Okay.
So Kyle got some meth for Brandon because according to Kyle Odessa, this was his drug of choice. Now, mind you, he'd been drug-free for almost 6 months. So according to Kyle, what he said to Tim and Lance in the interview was he occasionally would do drugs and then he would go without it. So he hadn't done drugs for 6 months. So it's not like his tolerances weren't high. Like, I mean, no pun intended. But if you do drugs all the time, obviously it takes more and more drugs to get you there. But if you don't do drugs and you do them, obviously you a little bit goes a long way. So now Ledessa also said that Brandon and herself was an addict, but he, like I said, was able to control the habit. And Ledessa said to Crawl Space that she used to do drugs too, which they all did meth. Kyle did drugs. Ledessa did drugs. Brandon did drugs. But that was, you know, they were early on. I don't want to say before children because one of Brandon's children was through another.
When he was a teenager.
Yeah, exactly. He was a teenager with another woman. And so there they are. So anyway, he gets the drugs and he did them the night before. He doesn't come home. So, of course, now Ledessa's already upset because Brandon didn't come home the night before. Okay? Which I understand that. If you find out I'm out doing drugs and I don't – or I got drugs that, and I'm not supposed to be doing them and I don't come home, you're going to be pretty upset. That's just a given. If I don't come home at night and I just pass out at somebody else's house and all of a sudden show up like everything's okay.
See, that concept is so foreign to me. Maybe I've led a sheltered life, but I've never really been in the drug scene.
Your life's not sheltered. I let you run on the yard.
Like, I've never really been associated with drug addicts. So maybe you can kind of I know that you've never been a drug addict. Ken has never been a drug addict. But you've
been... God didn't see it. I didn't do it.
You've been on the outskirts of that sort of...
I have.
...lifestyle. So maybe you can kind of give us some...
This is Patreon, insight. Right? This is Patreon family, so I can
yeah, you can...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, story time. You know what they say nowadays? That's the thing. Story time.
Story time.
So I've been married a couple times. So, but I've been in relationships before. Unfortunately, they all ended in with pertaining to drugs. So, all that mess aside, I've gotten on the edge of it. Now, here's one thing that I know about when it comes to drugs and addicts, and this is kind of what I think caused this whole scene, because in order for people to understand Brandon left, and this 911 call is really the last recorded spoken word of Brandon. That's all we kind of got to work with as a community, us anyway. The family knows a little bit more here and there, but not too much more. But when you go out and you do drugs, and this is what I found out with my relationships previously, you go out, they get high, when they come down, they want more. And then what they're doing is they look for reasons to be angry, to fight, to be mad, so that way you can be mad at them and they can just leave. And what that does is that basically it's kind of like an alcoholic. It gives them a reason to drink. An alcoholic gets depressed, they get upset, and they just turn to something. And that's their – what do they call that? Their coping. It's their whatever. So what I find is – the drugs cause the argument, and Brandon is like, hey, don't give me no shit about it. I'll go do more. Now, obviously, I don't know that's what was said, but I've been in that situation where that's what it was said. Hey, you know what? You're mad at me because I did this? Yeah, I'm pissed off that you did that. You didn't come home last night. I've actually had that happen a couple times. So I got
not
a feeling.
Not with me.
No, not at all. Not me. No, that's a whole different scenario. That was my previous life, as I call it. So anyway, I understand why Brandon left. Okay, so I understand why he took off that night. makes sense. I mean, he's pissed off. You can't do drugs. You stayed out all night. You said you weren't going to do drugs, because we know in the interview that I listened to and the things I've read, Ledesma was pissed or a little upset with him, and that's what caused the argument about him doing drugs.
Okay, now moving on. According to Ledesma's cell phone, Brandon tried to call her at 12:34 a.m. and 12:36 a.m. And remember, as we just said, her phone was in the car charging. When asked about this, Ledesma claims that she figured it was like any other argument they had had and never thought about her phone being in the car. She wasn't in the mood to argue anymore because she had an ill child in the house and figured that Brandon had already spoken to Kyle and he would handle it.
Yeah, because she said, look, I already called Kyle. Kyle been by. Kyle had already talked to Brandon. I figured, you know what? If he's pissed off, he could just talk to Kyle. Any more than if you called my brother and say, hey, me and him are fighting. Deal with it. He's going to talk to me or vice versa. I'd talk to, you know, however. I understand that scenario. Yeah. So I understand that she was, if you listen to her in this interview, and I recommend everyone go to listen to that interview, you realize she is so genuine in her answers and responses, and she loved Brandon dearly. So I don't think she was involved in this at all, like a lot of people think.
So Brandon is able to reach Kyle at 12:38 a.m., and tells Kyle that his truck, a 2002 Ford Ranger, had run out of gas. He tells Brandon that he doesn't have any money to stop and get gas, and he would come and get him and take him to the gas station.
So at 12:40, Kyle calls Ledesma and tells her that Brandon had run out of gas. So this is where Brandon had called Kyle and said, hey, I'm out of gas. Can you come get me? And she says she would leave a gas can on the front porch for Kyle to come by and get, because obviously she's not going to go anywhere and help him, because she's going to let Kyle deal with it.
She's got the kids.
She knows he's pissed. Exactly. It's easier for Kyle. So Kyle heads over, gets the gas can, and that's when he begins to drive towards Brandon. And at 12:48, Brandon tries to call Ledesma again, and she, of course, doesn't answer because her phone's in the car. And at 12:54 a.m., Brandon makes this infamous 911 call. So do we want to play the regular version, or do you want to play the slow version?
Well, the regular version is at the beginning of this. So let's play the slowed down version.
Okay. We've got a slowed down version that we're going to play because I think it might clarify a few things. So listen close, and I'm sure a lot of you already listened to this, and you probably have your own ideas. So listen and try to get some idea of what you think. Just listen to the slow version. Play it.
2013. 0:50 and 38 seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The state we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here that got shaken through the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now. Run that round
me. We're not talking to him. Hi, so you ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello?
So that's the slowed down version. So, okay, we will do our best to analyze that call and give our best unprofessional opinions in a moment. and we have to say unprofessional because obviously there's been law enforcement, there's been numerous agencies that have listened to this call, audio guys. They've done a lot of work. I think there's 1,000 YouTube videos on it, but obviously it's not us, and we're the unprofessional ones that can give our opinion in a minute. But first, there are other facts, like I said earlier, that you really need to know in order to have a more valid opinion. So let's kind of run through some of the facts that we know. Now at 12:58 a.m., there was a passing motorist. He was a trucker. Now he calls 911 to report a vehicle that was partially blocking the highway. Now, this caller stated that they were fearful that someone may run into a car since it was not safe. So an officer was dispatched to the scene. Now, we do not have this call, nor have been able to find it. We do know it exists. Watts, the guy that's the advocate for Brandon, he knows it exists, and I believe he's heard it, but he's been instructed not to say anything about it. Now, I found out when trying to obtain certain 911 calls that they're only kept for 90 days, so if nothing ever comes of them, then of course, you know, they go away. So it's possible that we know it exists. We don't know if he's actually heard it or if he just says he heard, he knows of it. I don't know. So we, you know, like I said, we do know that if they don't have any reason. Now, this particular trucker had stopped at the gas station called Stripes, which is roughly 3 miles, 3.5 miles north of where Brandon's truck ran out of gas. So he was,
and Brandon was heading north.
He was almost to this Stripes gas station. About 3.5 miles, I think, is what they calculated, because he was close to a bridge that was there for the Colorado River, right? So the trucker went in and he told the gas station attendant, hey, there's this truck that's down the road. And the gas station attendant said, hey, well, if that's the case, you need to call, won't you call 911 and tell them so they can send somebody by there, because, you know, it's pretty dark out there. It's desolate. It's an old country type road. It's, you know, it's an old highway. So he does. So he made the 911 call. So we know that a trucker was there on the scene pretty close to the time that Brandon made his call. Because at 12:54, Brandon made a phone call, and at 12:58, this truck driver had already been there, right? He'd already been by the scene and got 3 miles up ahead of the road, and had went in there and basically stopped at the gas station. Hey, man, there's this truck that's on the road. I think it was like, it might be less miles, I'm not sure. Now, both of these 911 calls were routed to an assisted living facility or a nursing home, where I believe the staff within the facility handles the calls that come in from the rural area. I mean, there can't be too many calls there. What do you think? The place is staffed 24/7, so they would have life-saving knowledge. So if you called 911 and needed help, they could probably help you.
I guess that makes sense, but that just seems super weird to me.
Well, I mean, if you needed help, they could assist you. I mean, medical things, at least they could help you over the phone until, you know, I don't know, until help arrived. Things that happen in a small town. Small things are different in small town USA.
I guess so.
That's my favorite line when we do the podcast sometimes, a small town USA. So now this right here, that's something that people need to know, because a lot of people give the 911 call shit, 911 operator shit. But it's like, she's just there taking a call, and what they do is they'll get the call. So they'll take the call, take the information, and then they'll say, please fire medical. Okay. Now she's instantly going to get on the phone and she's going to call the sheriff's office, or she's going to call the fire department, or she's going to call an ambulance. So you call them and she calls somebody else and gets them for you. That's pretty much how it works. It's a little different there than, you know, like now. I mean, it's all computer done and she can talk to dispatchers of all different stuff. So, you know, that's kind of how, like I said, things are different in small town USA.
So we later find out in an interview with Kyle that after their mother had asked Kyle to go check on things, Brandon called Kyle. Now, during this call, Kyle says Brandon told him that LaDessa had some Mexicans in the neighborhood chasing him out of town, and that a state trooper had pulled one of them over and the other two were still chasing him. He then hung up on Kyle. He calls him right back to tell him that he is just about out of gas. This is when Kyle begins heading back over to LaDessa's, explains how he was able to get there so quickly.
Exactly. He was already like turning around, going back like, shit, he's out of gas. So now he's already headed back to, and that's when he called LaDessa and said he was on his way back to Kyle's house. Well, it's important because the time frames, because if you look at the time frame of how long it took Brandon from the time he left his house until the time that he ran out of gas, it was like 40 minutes. So he's gone this small amount of time or small amount of distance in a long period of time. So obviously there was something else. He did something else. Must have been driving around or something to decide he was going to leave. Maybe he was going to change his mind. He didn't leave the house and go straight to Crowley. That's what I'm figuring, because if so, he was going pretty slow. I'll get into a little bit of my detail later, but Kyle had turned around and came back because Kyle got there a lot quicker. So at 1:18 a.m., Kyle's girlfriend Audrey answers a phone call from Brandon, in which Brandon states that he is bleeding. That's what they kind of make up. It was fuzzy because he was cutting in and out, which Kyle kept saying that, you know, Brandon hung up on him, but he may have just dropped the call. Mm-hmm. which anyone who's had T-Mobile knows I'm just kidding, knows how that can be. I don't know if it was T-Mobile or not. I'm just making fun of T-Mobile. Please don't kill me for that. Now, he says, hurry up and get here. So I'm bleeding, hurry up and get here. He calls back and says, where are y'all? Kyle says, I'm getting here right now. Brandon says, I can see you. So Kyle parks, approaches the truck, and then he sees another car pulling up. Now, this is the officer pulling up. So Brandon calls him back, and Kyle asks, where are you, bro? He says, I'm right here. Then Brandon says, run. Kyle says, I'm not running. I haven't done anything. He says, where's your pride, motherfucker? And Brandon then hangs up on him again. Now, it said that the reason Brandon did not come out was due to a current warrant that he had. Now, this is odd because he had just gotten out of jail. And this is one thing that I wasn't sure of because Brandon got out of jail and then he went to pay some fine. And then they said, hey, you know, by the way, you've got this warrant. And I guess he was going to go take care of it the following day or the next day or later on or something.
Right.
It's confusing. It's like, how do you get out of jail and have a warrant? I mean, you figure that that stuff is all handled while you're in custody, right? So, you know, as it goes up, here's where I find real odd about that particular portion of calls at 118. He says, I'm bleeding, he calls him back. Now, the cop shows up, and the cop's like, hey, is this your truck? So the officer asks Kyle, hey, is this your truck? Kyle explains the situation about Brandon walking down the road and losing signal. Now, Brandon had made numerous calls that kept dropping, or like I said, they thought he was hanging up. We don't really know. And Kyle asked the officer, hey, do you mind if I could drive up the road and look for him? And the officer says, hey, you could, but he just came from that way and he didn't see anyone. So, hey, do you mind if I drive up the road and look for my brother who's missing? And the officer says, I just came from that way. I didn't see anybody. And here's a part that I find really odd because no one really talks about this. And Kyle, who literally was just on the phone with his brother, and his brother says, hey, why don't you're there with the cops, dude, run. He's like, dude, I didn't do anything wrong, which is odd because Brandon had already called 911 and said he needed the cops. But then here's a cop there, and Kyle's talking to him. Brandon says, run. But then the cop says, hey, man, no, I just came from the north. I didn't see anybody. You know, I didn't see anybody there. Well, duh. If Brandon's telling Kyle to run from the cops, if Brandon sees a cop coming, what's he going to do? Run. He's going to hide. So, of course, the cop wasn't going to see anybody walking down the road because Brandon would have hid. I mean, that's my – again, I'm analyzing. That's my opinion. Like I said, he probably would have jumped off the road scared. And so the mystery becomes, okay, why do you tell Kyle to run? But do you call the cops, ask for cops? But then the cop drives down the road, possibly didn't see him. Now, Kyle did look for his brother. And he kept calling him. He was screaming his name. He was texting. He texted him a whole bunch, but there's still no response. Now, Kyle didn't know. No one knew about the 911 call that Brandon made. They said it was like 4 months later that they finally took to get it. LaDessa got the phone bill, and then she noticed that there was a call in 911.
The missed call. Yeah.
And or the call to 911, I should say, rather. And then, but it took like 4 months for her to get the 911 call. And I guess numerous people have asked did a FOIA request and asked it for a non-redacted 911 call. And that's what they get is this call. So a lot of people say that this has been manipulated, but it's been analyzed by so many different people. And, you know, it's just, it's how it is.
So Kyle brings a full gas can back, put it in the truck, drove up and down the road and found nothing. The truck was towed by the police by 9 a.m., and police were notified of him, Brandon, missing later, and they thought that Kyle was lying.
Yeah, they thought Kyle was lying because he said, you know, hey, I was talking to my brother who's on the phone. They're like, hey, why didn't you say anything? Like, well, he had a warrant. Okay, so why were you lying to us about all this going on? So they actually thought Kyle was involved.
So Brandon has not been seen or heard from since that night. Kyle did take two polygraphs and pass both.
Yeah, both. It was funny because they gave him two polygraphs, both with different aspects. One was, you know, have you seen your brother? And the other one was like, do you know anything about your brother? It was really interesting to find out about those polygraphs.
It would be good to note here that Brandon had been arrested several times and had spent time in prison on a few separate occasions, most for drugs and a couple for violence. This may play into the reason most speculate that the police were involved, but I feel like it is the reason law enforcement didn't really pursue anything. Like we have talked about many times, once a victim is labeled as an addict or a constant menace, the police suddenly feel like they are not as important.
We've seen that in a lot of cases.
We have seen that, unfortunately. So, Ken.
Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and analyze this 911 call?
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and play the quick version real fast?
I will.
Let's play that. And then I've got one little story to tell, and then we'll get into the basis of tonight's episode, which is analyze this.
2013, 0:50 and 38 seconds.
911
emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. A sniper just pushed some guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. Got taken to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
We're not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, so just a quick little funny story. So my mom, now just so you guys know, I mean, my mom lives in Texas. One of the things I wanted to do is I said, Mom, I want you to listen to this 911 call. Tell me what you think. So I said, don't research anything or whatever. What I want you to do is listen to the 911 call. Tell me what you hear. Little background. My whole family on my mother's side, they're all in the mud logging business. Now, mud logging is basically doing soil sample checks and stuff like that when you're doing oil work, oil field. So because she has knowledge of oil field workers, right? So there's some relationship there. She's also in Texas, South Texas, even though I think that Brant is more Western Texas. But she's in South Texas. And I think it was important because the accent that he has is very strong and there are words that they use. So he does have a bit of an accent. You have to take that into consideration, which I did because I have a lot of family in Texas. So if you've ever eaten at a Whataburger, there's a good chance that you've heard a Texas accent before. Just saying. So anyway, I put that out to her and I said, Mom, tell me what you think. And of course, my stepdad, Dennis, I said, listen to it. Tell me what you think. So this is what she comes up with. She listens to it a couple times. No research, anything. She has no idea. I give her no names. And she says, this is what he's saying. I'm out in a field. A tanker just pushed some guys over. She thought he said a tanker. They were out here driving on both sides. They took some guys into the woods, pretty bad burned. Tried talking to them. Said I ran into them. That's the first guy. No, I need the cops. Then she heard gunshots, and he wasn't able to answer the operator. Also assumed it was an accident that he witnessed or was in. So she thought that he got in an accident or witnessed an accident and that these guys were like after him, somebody was burned. She thought it was like a 911 call where somebody was just hurt and this guy made this call. Then, so I said, okay, Mom, well, this is actually what it is. And I gave some information, gave some names. Now, once she started to read a couple of articles on this case, she starts to change her tune a little and begin to hear a state trooper rather than a tanker. And at the end, she heard gunshots at the end, but she said it was too far away to have injured him, but were to scare him, like the bad guys are like, bang, 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 you know, scare
Warning
him.
Warning shots.
Exactly. So she began to also lean more towards Brandon being trafficked or witnessed drug smuggling that she's familiar with in that area, because once she knew who it was, she figured out it was Brant. And I guess that area has a high traffic because it's not a main road. It's less traveled, if you will. And it was just, she, like I said, she's from Texas and she kind of knows this area well, not that she's been there. Now, she also noted that the roads in that area, like I said, are heavily used by traffickers. Now, whether it would be people or drugs, because, you know, whether you're trafficking drugs or people, it's a desolate area. And I guess it has a straight run connection to Mexico, so you can kind of get to these areas pretty quick. That's kind of what I wanted to do. Like, I want to give this to somebody who hasn't heard of this case. So I gave it to my mom, who has, you know, some background. There's connection there, you know, the oil field, the Texas thing.
You know, I just have to say something.
Please.
And until just now, It never occurred to me that Brandon Lawson may have been trafficked. Like, that just never occurred to me. I mean, I have my theories on what happened to him, but that was never one of them until you just informed me. And Ken has done this research, just so everyone's aware. This is his baby. And
well, one thing we noticed, remember all the – I've never seen more traffic alerts and billboards and signage than we did when we were in Texas for CrimeCon.
Well, that's because it's so close to Mexico.
Yeah, it was huge, so.
But I just want to say that, like, that sort of kind of blows my mind. Like, it just never occurred to me that he may have been trafficked.
Well, keep in mind, Brandon was a big dude. I mean, he was a big guy. Street smart. I mean, he's been in prison. So he's a tough dude. You know what? I'll just leave that right there. I just say that because, you know, you take him to a different country. How do you get back? You know, I mean, that's what they do. They strip you of all your livelihood and take you to a different country if you're trafficked. I don't personally feel that's what happened, but is it a possibility? Absolutely. Absolutely, it's a possibility. Anymore with the Maura Murray case, she was pretty close to Canada. I got to believe. I mean, Canadians are great people.
I don't think Canadians traffic.
There's a lot of people in Canada that are not Canadian. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there.
Okay.
The thing about that is, in order to get a good U.S. Into the U.S., you get into Canada. It's easier to go from Canada into the U.S. than it is from, let's just say, like the Middle Eastern country. You know, you can't just fly from Afghanistan into the U.S.
Yeah.
And it'd be easy. But if you start in Canada, it is. Same reason like when the drug trade.
Except for right now.
Well, exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, right now, the COVID's a whole different animal.
We're going back to 2013.
Exactly. So
I wish we could go back to 2013, to be honest. But
if I get a time machine, I am going back and saving lives and solving cases, just like that Stephen King book. What is it?
11/22/63.
Exactly. Great.
Great book. Oh my gosh, that's one of my favorites.
Okay, we're way off. We are.
Okay. All right. Keep going.
Let's get this thing done. Let's start analyzing this case now as we know it. And I think I'm too close to the microphone. I'm sorry if I just got really loud. So, what most people hear in this call now, this is what I found, and I visited several sources. I've listened to podcast. I've read newspaper clippings. There's one lady out of San Angelo. I want to say her name is like Christine Johnson, who wrote this great article on the case. If you can find it, it's a San Angelo newspaper that's there. But this is what I've accumulated that everyone seems to come up with. If you go to like YouTube and you listen to like, I don't know, 50 different videos that put lyrics with it. If you read these news sources, this is what they break down. If you go to these websites and you download what they believe the 911 call is, this is what I've accumulated that everyone thinks is being said in this call, and then we'll get into what I think. 911 emergency. Yes, I'm in the middle of a field. A staper just pushed some guys over. We're out here going towards Abilene on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. We've got one car here. Guy chased me into the woods. Please hurry. 911 operator says, okay, now run that by me one more time. Now, Brandon's kind of talking a little while she is, and it's kind of inaudible, but we think what he's saying is, I tried talking to him. We're not talking to them or something like that. I totally ran into him. She says, ah, you ran into him. And he says something inaudible. I'm going to staper, I think is what they come up with. Got the first guy.
Do you think staper means state trooper?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that's what we're going to be. I think that's what everybody's come up with is – remember, they think he had done meth the night before. He'd been in a fight with his wife. He's running through a field. He's out of breath, which you can tell. He's like, state troopers pull some guys over. State troopers pull some guys over. And he's from Texas.
Yeah.
And it's that, like my mom, this is funny because I said, Mom, I need you to listen to this 911 call and tell me what you think. And the first thing she said was, why? Kenny, why?
Why?
Why? So that's just that accent, you know, it's H-W-Y. That's how they, why? So anyway, says something, whatever, which we believe to be Staper, got the first guy, says, do you need an ambulance? He says, yeah. No, I need the cops. And I think there at that point, he's like, yeah, I need the cops. No, he wanted to agree with her, like, I need help, figuring she said help, but then realized, do you need an ambulance? No cops. Is anyone hurt? Hello? 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 And there is what is constantly said to be gunshots in the background. Okay, so you hear these, like, boom, 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 and I cannot tell you, Even my mom said, there's gunshots. Kenny, there's gunshots. I can hear them. I love
Hold on. Let's plug this in.
What is
that? The section where there's supposedly gunshots so that our listeners can decide for themselves.
What you got it there? Can you put it in?
Yeah.
Do it.
Okay, so do those sound like gunshots?
See, and that's what a lot of people think.
I think that we should play it again over and over on a loop and let our listeners just listen.
All right, let's you want to go to dinner and just let it play for a little while?
Just let's listen again.
Okay, so like I said, a lot of people were saying there's a gunshot. I don't believe there are gunshots, and I'll give you my explanation here in a moment. What I would really like to do, and the reason we wanted to loop it and play that is because everyone thinks it's gunshots. I think Lauren kind of thinks they're gunshots too. My mom thought there were gunshots when she first heard it, when she first found out a little bit more about the case. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually read a line of it, and then I'm going to tell you what I think is being said and why he's saying it based on the facts that I've researched for the case. I'm pretty fortunate because the first time I listened to this case with Vanished, that I even heard about it, that there wasn't a whole lot of information out there. Now there's been interviews, there's been statements, there's a lot of stuff that's come out that we know now that wasn't out there. So here is my unprofessional web detectiveness best thoughts on what I think is said and why I feel the way they're said. So now let's get into the portion about the show that's called Analyze This. So let's start with this. Yes, I'm in the middle of a field. Then he says, a staper just pushed some guys over. Now remember, he was either on drugs or coming down from his high from the previous night. You know, he had worked extremely long shifts and was out all night long, never came home. Remember, Ledesa said he was doing 95-hour weeks. Now, this could have and most likely affected his mental state. He was most likely paranoid as well because he told Kyle that some Mexicans in the neighborhood were following him. Now, prior to his 911 call, he told Kyle that a state trooper had pulled one of the guys over. And you can this is all information is backed up through his interview, his words. Kyle's words, rather, in his interview. He said they were following him because Ledesa had gotten some guys in the neighborhood after him or something to that effect. So he said that some Mexicans were chasing him, right, following him. A state trooper had pulled one of the guys over. So maybe they were drug dealers because he had scored some drugs or tried to, and maybe they robbed him. You know, did they rob him? I don't know. So I'm going to say he was saying staper, referring to state trooper that he mentioned to Kyle. I mean, I at first thought State Street because the road he was on turns into State Street once you enter Bront. And that's something else that people don't realize when they're doing this. As you start looking at the map, State Street is what the road he was on turns into when it gets into Bront. It's like here, you know, 951 is Collier Boulevard.
Livingston turns into Imperial.
Exactly. So the road name changes. Even if you're on 41, 41 is 9th Street when you're in downtown Naples, but then it's Tamiami Trail. So it's like it's got a lot of names. So with that being said, yes, I'm in the middle of the field. A staper just pushed some guys over. So he's saying, hey, he's referring back to, hey, I'm in the middle of a field. A staper just pushed some guys over, pulled some guys over. Says, we're out here. We were out here going towards Abilene on both sides. Now, it's Abilene, but he's from Texas. So he's going to say
Abilene.
That's just the accent part of it. And again, I'm analyzing this. This is all my opinion, folks. This is not any fact. All right, so let's start, like I said, with the town Abilene. Most people from the South tend not to pronounce their words clearly or use vowels correctly. Anyone that listens to us knows that's from my speaking skills. Sometimes I don't say
see
things.
And saw.
Shut up, Shannon. I know she's laughing. Now, I feel he was saying Abilene because that's how he pronounces it. So we know that is most likely what he is saying. And as for we were going to Abilene, so we were out here going to Abilene on both sides. Now, if he were being chased, the people chasing him may have gotten into the other lane to pull alongside of him, like, pull over, you know, to threaten him. Right. Because it's a desolate road and it's dark. You can see if somebody's coming.
Yeah.
So now this could lead to why he was on 277 that night headed toward Abilene when the other route was quicker. So people were saying that there's another route that was a lot faster. Why did he take that road? Well, maybe he was being chased, so he got on that road. Maybe he got on that road so that way it was just like the quickest access to get the hell out of there. So I think he was trying to flee someone. Not to mention knowing that he was low on fuel and would know the area enough to know he couldn't make it to the nearest gas station in Bront, which was, like I said, the Stripes 114 gas station. So you're Brandon. You know this area. You get on this road. Why is he on this road knowing full well that he did not have enough gas to make it? You know, why? Is it possible that maybe he was being chased and he's like, fuck it, he just hit that road and was hauling ass? Okay, so the next line. My truck ran out of gas. We got one car here. Guy chased me in the woods. Please hurry. Now, we know that his car did indeed run out of gas, but why was his car left sitting on the side of the road, partially in the lane? Now, I have to believe that Brandon would have been smart enough to get his car off the road or even push it off. Now, it was a little truck, and like I said, Brandon was a stout boy. I mean, if you look at pictures of Brandon Lawson, he was no slouch. He was a pretty good boy, and oil-filled workers, I got to tell you, these guys...
I think we actually have a photo of him somewhere up in our studio.
Oh, we do. It's it's over there. So he was a pretty stout boy. Now, if I can push my old S10, I had a S10 that I used to have to push start because the battery died, and I was actually broke at the time, and I couldn't afford to go buy a battery. So what I would do is just, if I needed to, it was at a clutch, I'd just get it, push it. I would park on hills and back up certain ways, and I'd push start it. So I got to believe, if you're driving a Ford Ranger and you run out of gas – and you pull off the road a little bit, you're going to be like, man, he's smart enough to know. Brandon wasn't an idiot to push the car off the rest of the road unless he was running from somebody that's chasing him, right? That's kind of what I'm leaning to. So if I could push my truck, I know he could push this little Ford Ranger off. So why leave it the way it was left or was partially on the road? And like I said, because he was being chased by someone, most likely one guy driving, another guy in the passenger seat. So Brandon runs out of gas, pulls off the road to the best visibility, jumps out, takes off running. Now the car pulls up next to him, and one of the guys, or both, take off chasing him. Hence, we got one car here. Right, he drove a truck. I can tell you, now he wasn't referring to his truck because truck guys never call their truck a car. Just doesn't happen in the South. Me, I call Lauren's car a truck. You know, I mean, I call my truck as a truck.
I have an SUV.
That's what I'm saying. I drive a truck. So my truck is my truck. I always say by the Jeep.
But so you say, call my car a truck?
Sometimes.
Oh.
You put in your truck or car because it's the hatch comes open. You put stuff in it. Like remember the old Jeep? We had like 27 sheets of plywood for Irma?
Yeah.
It wasn't 27 sheets, but either way. But what I'm getting at is guys in the South never say, my car. We got one car here. He would not have said, we've got one car here when he
meaning
was driving
his
a truck.
Exactly. He was meaning there was another car there.
Exactly. Because it was his car. We got one car here, right? So, my truck ran out of gas. We got one car here. Guy chased me in the woods. Please hurry. Sorry, that's what he said. My truck ran out of gas. We got one guy here. Guy chased me into the woods. Please hurry. This is what I feel like is being said. Now, we know that his car, truck, did indeed run out of gas, but why his truck was left sitting on the side of the road, partially in the lane, I don't know. Like I said, I just don't know. And like I said, he would not have referred to his truck as a car. So I think he was referring to another car that was there, possibly the people that were chasing him. Now, here's the part that I think created this scenario that he found himself in this night. We're not talking to him. Huh, I totally ran into him. You can tell in his voice when he says that. Can you pull that up? Is it possible to pull it up here in just a second? I'm gonna give my explanation, but I do want to play it. Where he says, we're not talking to him. I totally ran into him. Can you find that and play it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, one second. Run that by me.
We're not talking to him. I totally ran into him.
You ran into him. Okay.
Got the first guy.
Now, I'm going to attribute this line back to his hometown. We're not talking to him. I totally ran into him. I feel like he was thinking out loud and explaining to the operator that he knew these people. We're not talking to him. Now, there are people in our life that I would say that we aren't talking to them. I mean, whether it's for any good reason or not, who knows? But regardless, we avoid these people. I mean, we don't call them or text them. We know them, but avoid them because if we come face to face, it's either uncomfortable or things get heated. So he says to the operator, I totally ran into him. So he is talking about people that he isn't talking to, but he ran into them, causing them to chase him. You understand what I'm saying? You kind of understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We're not talking to him. I totally ran into him. Now, keep in mind that Brandon and Kyle, and I'm sure their friend group, you know, the group of friends that they have, are kind of into the darker side of things, like crime and drugs, as, you know, we know that they got meth. And you have to know certain people to buy certain drugs, you would think. So it's kind of the darker side. And we in true crime know that some of those unsavory groups don't play nicely. So he knows them, runs into them somewhere, and jumps in his truck, takes off, calls Kyle. And that's when he says, hey, Ledesa's got these Mexicans chasing me. Because he said Ledesa had Mexicans in the neighborhood chasing him. That's what Kyle said in the interview. So we know that to be fact that he said to Kyle. Assuming what Kyle is saying is true. And I can't imagine Kyle making that part up. So with that being said, that kind of makes me feel like this all became Stapers pull some guys over. You know, I mean, it kind of puts everything together, that little line there. And the way he says it is like, basically, it's like a, man, I can't believe I ran into him. And it might have been that maybe he was trying to score more meth, because remember, there was a time lapse from the time he left his house to where he got where he's at. Kyle gets there pretty quickly, but it took him a while to get there. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, are you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just want to make sure, because if you can keep up, I'm sure the listeners can. So I just want
to
make sure
that
I'm not.
What are you trying to insinuate here?
I'm not trying to say that you're beautiful.
That's what I thought.
I'm insinuating beautiful. But anyway, so like I said, so he says to Kyle that the Mexicans were chasing him. And I think that's what this was. Like, maybe there was a group of people that maybe didn't like him or that he knew. Because remember, he went to school there. Maybe they didn't like him from school. There's kids that if I run into that I went to school with, we might fight for no other reason than I just don't like you. I never have liked you. We don't get along. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to tell you who she is, but I see her. I'm going to bust her in her eye. No, I'm kidding. It's totally a joke. So, and remember, he tells Kyle that the state trooper had already pulled over one of the guys, right? Because remember, if you listen to what we said earlier and you listen to the interview that Kyle gives, he says that the state trooper had pulled one of the guys over. So with that being said, he says in the next line, so he says, we're not talking to him. Ah, I totally ran into him. And she goes, ah, you ran into him. Now she's instantly thinking that it's an accident.
Right.
But then Brandon comes back and says, they got the first guy, meaning he told Kyle earlier, and we got this from the interview, if the people that he ran into began to chase him and he jumped into his truck and began to haul ass, the people chasing him would most likely have been speeding as well. The state trooper that he told Kyle got the first guy might have pulled him over. So maybe these two guys jumped in their cars or trucks, whatever. Cars, presumably cars, because, you know, Brandon says car, not truck. Brandon's in a truck. So he hauls ass, right? So he says state trooper. He told Brandon the state trooper got the first guy. Now he's telling the 911 operator, they got the first guy. In other words, these guys chase me. I'm in the woods. Please hurry. My car's out of gas. They got the first guy. So the first guy that was chasing got pulled over by the first state trooper because they were speeding. Does that make sense to you?
Good. Yes.
Now, obviously, you can tell in this interview his adrenaline's flowing pretty good, and he's out of breath, and he's probably replaying the whole stream of events in his mind, and he's trying to correlate this to the operator of everything that's happening, like going back to the beginning. Oh, I totally ran into him, you know, and they got the first guy, so you know they chased me in this woods. It's kind of a whole. He's telling a story of what's happening this evening, I think. So she says, do you need an ambulance? Because she's thinking that ran into him. She's thinking it's an accident. He says, yeah, no, I need the cops. So some say that the yell part was said by someone else, but I think he was just turning his head away from the phone and realized what she asked and corrected himself. Yeah, no, I need the cops. This is where I can put the idea of him being chased for real into play. Now, you have a guy that has been in trouble with the police numerous times. He's been to prison, has recently used drugs, and may have had some or been using that night, who knows, and had a warrant out for his arrest. Now, he's asking for the cops. Now, I can tell you from someone I know's experience that a cop would never be called unless their life was absolutely threatened, and maybe not even then. Now, this is why I feel strongly that he was being chased. So, and if any of you guys are patrons, you know who I'm probably know I'm talking about. But so I know that he would never ask for the cops. So, do you need an ambulance? Yeah. No, I need the cops. I think maybe she was like, do you want me to send the police? And he was like, yeah. Oh, wait, you said ambulance. No, I need the cops. So I think that's what that line means. So the operator then asked, is anyone hurt? And now everything is silent. Now, you can still hear that Brandon was on the line and could most likely hear her, but was likely in fear that one of the guys chasing him was near and might hear him if he spoke. Now, he may have lowered the phone to look around as well. He seemed panicked in the call and could have just started to run again, which is kind of the direction I'm leaning to. Like, he put the phone down, took off again. Or maybe that somebody was close, or he heard what we thought were the gunshots, right? Maybe he thought they were gunshots and he stopped to listen, like, what's going on? And then you hear that, like, I hear this coming. Now, I don't not think they were gunshots. I honestly don't think they were gunshots at all. Now, they would most likely have been louder or more clear. I think if they were gunshots and the guy was chasing, they would have been more profound sound. You know what I mean? Like, he would have heard this gunshot. You would have heard it in the phone. I mean, like, you can hear in the microphones that we have in the studio. I mean, they pick up little bitty stupid things here and there, especially with the newest equipment. Now, we live in a rural area, and prior to the price of ammo skyrocketing, our neighborhood sounded like Baghdad sometimes.
Yeah, we have a lot of people shooting around us.
And that's okay. I mean, we've shot in the backyard too, and I'm pretty certain that I'm not hearing gunshots in this audio. Now, however, I will say that being a guy that has fished under just about every single bridge in this county, I can tell you that the sound that you hear at the end is a passing vehicle or a pickup truck or a large semi-truck going over the bridge nearby where his truck was found. You hear, dun-dun, dun-dun. This also makes more sense once you factor in that a passing trucker called 911 to report a vehicle blocking the road 4 minutes after Brandon had placed his call. Now, the trucker would have to go over the bridge, see Brandon's truck, and then make the call. Now, the timing works out to help solidify my thoughts. So you hear that boom, 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 boom. And then maybe Brandon saw this truck coming, and he panicked again like, shit, is the first car that the state trooper pulled over, is that car on the road? Because remember, it's a desolate road. So he's running. Do you know I need the cops? And then all of a sudden, she's like, is anybody hurt? And then he's like, shit. And he sees a vehicle coming, boom, 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 boom. And maybe he thought it was the cops. Maybe he thought, okay, well, I'm going to run out here if this guy's chasing me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I don't think there were gunshots. Now, what do I personally feel happened to Brandon? I feel like he most likely waited until the cop left his truck, walked back down to the truck. Now, he makes a 911 call. Kyle shows up. He tells Kyle, you know, cops are here, dude, run. Where's your pride, motherfucker? Like we said earlier. All this transpires, goes on. Now, I feel like I said, he walked back down to his truck. Now, Kyle did say that the cop reached in and turned on the flashers to the truck and left it where it was. Now, Brandon may have gone back down to wait for Kyle and come back, figuring he was no longer in danger. You know, he saw a car pull up thinking it was Kyle, and maybe it was the people looking for him. Okay, so these people are chasing him. He runs into the woods. The cops show up. Kyle's there. He's like, okay, he's not going to go talk to Kyle because he has this warrant for his arrest. He doesn't want to be involved with the cops. He's trying to get Kyle to run from the cops. Now, he comes back down there thinking that Kyle's going to show up and the people that were chasing him show back up. Now, anyone that has knowledge of the area would probably know where to hide a body. So if these guys live there, maybe they killed him and hid a body somewhere. Now, a lot of podcasters are like, oh, then, you know, he just got lost and succumbed to the elements. It's possible.
That's kind of my theory, actually.
You know, I don't feel like he succumbed to the elements like so many others say, because he was young, he was fit, This guy was a hard worker. I mean, he could go for hours, most likely on minimal sleep. Now, to think that he needed supplies to get roughly 5 miles up the road to Braun just doesn't set well with me, because everybody's like, well, he had no supplies. He was out in the woods. You could put me in the woods. I mean, you've seen me work around here.
Yeah.
I could go for hours without water in the heat working. I've done it. I just do it. I don't know why. So I find it hard to believe. That's just me. I don't know Brandon. I just know that a guy that's fit like that, guy's working 95 hours a week. It's possible. It's possible that maybe he passed out. Now,
he was 230 pounds.
Exactly.
So he was overweight.
He wasn't fat, though. I mean, and what I'm saying is he was muscular.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was a pretty fit boy. He wasn't like he was, you know, like obese.
Right.
Because a lot of times people think 230. He was kind of, you know, he was a big boy.
That's what I thought. Like,
It just doesn't set well with me. I mean, he was not far off the road. I mean, if he could see Kyle when the cop shows up and say, hey, I see you there with a cop. But then again, maybe that cop pulled back up later, and this is far-fetched, because I don't believe this, but I have to put this out there because the thought did cross my mind. I don't think this is it, but maybe we had a replay of the Terrence Williams, Felipe Santes situation occur.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going through that, but I don't feel like this deputy would, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, what happened to Brandon Lawson will always kind of be a haunting mystery, just like similar circumstances.
Until they
like
find his body.
Exactly.
If they find his body.
You know, with Moore Murray. Okay, so a lot of people that feel that those were gunshots, they think that the phone call ended and it was gunshots. Oh, well, it's obviously he got shot at the end. No. Because at 11:53, so starting at 11:53, these phone calls start pouring in. Everything happens. Brandon leaves his house. That's when the phone calls start. Now, there's a lot of other missed calls that went on there. There were calls back and forth between Brandon. Brandon actually called his neighbor. The neighbor called Brandon back. There's a lot of calls that were missed from Brandon to Kyle, Kyle to Brandon. Now, the 911 call at 104, the lady actually tried to call Brandon back, and he didn't answer. So it wasn't until 119 until the phone calls went to voicemail. So even after the deputy shows up, Brandon's not being chased. We know that he called and spoke to Kyle after his 911 call because the deputy was on scene. Now, what they didn't know is I'm sure that Brandon assumed that the deputy that was there because of his phone call. And maybe that deputy coming or the car showing up or what scared away the guy that were chasing him. But I think that he ran into some people out in the town. Maybe he was trying to score more drugs. Maybe they tried to rob him. Maybe he didn't have any money left. Maybe he stole the drugs from him. Who knows? And they started chasing him. He hits the road. He runs out of gas. And he pulls off the road, gets out of the car, hauls ass, makes this 911 call. Another car shows up or a car goes by. Maybe that truck that was coming by scared the people because they're like, shit, there's people coming. You know, so they haul the people like give up the chase. They haul ass. They turn around and go back. Cop shows up and maybe they came back later for him. Maybe they sat and wait. Maybe they waited till everything kind of transpired and went away. Who knows? But I think that whatever happened to Brandon, I don't think that he succumbed to the elements. I mean, I know that you can dehydrate quickly out there, but it's nighttime, so it's not like it's boiling hot in the sun.
It's still August in Texas.
It is. It is. I mean, it's hot, but maybe he did dehydrate, but if something like that were to happen, they would have found him. I know that a lot of the landowners that are nearby and the sheriff has said, look, stay off these lands. But a lot of them are starting to open up and let them search, and they haven't been able to find anything. They've done drone searches. They found no body. So that's where I'm leaning towards. Maybe I feel like somebody else was involved and maybe like buried the body, hid the body, did something to him. Now, a lot of people think that it was the Colorado River, but the Colorado River is very shallow, which means it's literally like ankle deep in the area that he would have been in. So he could have ran across it, especially in August, because it's really like no time. Is there a lot of water? I mean, I don't want to say it's ankle deep, but knee deep. It wouldn't have been something that he would have like fell into and it was like 20 feet deep and he would have drowned. So anyway, I mean, that's kind of the analyze this. I think that's the 911 call is what it is. And I think that's very mysterious. I think there's a lot of people who've read more into the 911 call than there is. I think it literally is just him saying, hey, I got chased by these guys. They chased me in the woods. I'm stuck here. Help. Send the cops. The cops show up. He doesn't run out there. He should have. But unfortunately, you know, he kind of fell victim to his element of the drug scene. And I think that's really what it is. And not to take away from it, but I think that's really what ultimately caused his problem. I don't think he ran off. I think he was actually injured by somebody that was looking for him or after him. You know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I already said I think he ran off. He may have been under the influence of drugs, and he succumbed to the elements. That's just my theory.
Okay. You know, a lot of people have a theory. And, you know, that's the best thing about this particular episode that I love. And I've been wanting to dive this deep into this case. I haven't had a chance to do that. I've been in this case and looked at so many different aspects of it in different times. But I really enjoyed going through every bit of this and getting my mind set on something now. And so I'm hoping that I get to see him again at CrimeCon in Vegas, because I am going to be right on top of it and talk to this guy. So I guess at like 3 a.m. that night, they say Brandon's phone finally shut off. So they don't know if it shut off or powered off or what the deal was.
Maybe but the battery died.
Yeah, it's possible. I guess the phone call at 1:18 that he spoke to Kyle and said, hey, you know, where's your pride? You know, run from the cops. That was after the 911 call, so we know he was still alive after the call. I don't know. Hit us up, guys. Tell us what you think. So that's going to be it for Analyze This, the Brandon Lawson story. I mean, the 911 call, the mysterious 911 call.
And, everyone, thank you for listening to Paradise After Dark.
Dark, 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 dark.